May you have the gladness of Christmas, which is hope, the spirit of Christmas, which is peace, the heart of Christmas, which is love. Merry Christmas, and welcome to this holy night of expectation, joy, and indeed, love. Tonight we celebrate God's greatest gift, the birth of his Son, Jesus Christ. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for this service by listening to Kathy's prelude. Thank you.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head.
That was beautiful, Kathy. Thank you. A little technical difficulties with the candles, but still a good Christmas. Would you please stand and turn to page 148 of the red hymnal found in your pews in front of you, and we will sing our opening carol, O Come All Ye Faithful, verses 1, 2, and 4. Call to worship. Come listen, the sounds of God with us ring clear.
And
the word made flesh, yet the word ever near. Please pray with me. Jesus, the light of the world, as we celebrate your birth, may we begin to see the world in the light of the understanding you give us. As you chose the lowly, the outcasts, and the poor to receive the greatest news the world has ever known, so may we worship you in the meekness of heart. Hear the words you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. For a child has been born to us, a son given to us, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. From Isaiah's words, we remember the prophets of old who demanded to be heard, who dared to speak of a child to come, the vulnerable incarnation of the Holiest One, a new hope for knowing God with us as Emmanuel.
Today we give thanks for prophets among us who bring us surprising new visions of hope, who challenge us to think in new ways, who show us a future we never anticipated. We light the candle of hope as a symbol of the prophets who renew our faith and remind us of what may be.
Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Mary speaks in peace her assent to God's invitation to be transformed. We remember Mary, innocent and powerful, sacred and scared, worried, wondering, and waiting, as the Savior of all grows in her womb. She sings boldly when she might be meek. She bears her role in history with confidence, for the depth of peace she bears within herself is a sign of knowing God, who brings down the powerful from their thrones and lifts up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty.
On this night, we give thanks for the Marys among us, who step out of the roles society has planned, determined to do as God asks, fearless and fearfully stepping out in faith, and beckoning us to do the same. We light the candle of peace, reminding us to be like Mary, mothering God's peace with strength, bearing forth Christ, who is the way.
The angel of the Lord appeared in glory to lowly shepherds and said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people." Their joyous wonder was so great, with haste they hurried to Bethlehem to see the newborn king. And no wonder, for the shepherds work for the common good as steadfast watchmen, isolated and alone, far from the warmth of a home, doing the job no one wanted. And yet God saw them, God valued them, and God declared the greatest news of all to them alone.
In this moment, we give thanks for the shepherds among us, backbreaking laborers on whom our economy stands, those we overlook or rarely see, yet rely on for our very survival, the ones who have much to teach us about watching for God in the darkness and knowing the joy of finding God's love. We light the candle of joy as a reminder to see the shepherds humbly serving behind the scenes of society, far from the world's stage. We light the candle of joy as a reminder to be shepherds, agents of the gospel, and redeemers of the world.
Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. It wasn't an easy trip for Joseph, worn out traveler and worried husband, doing what was necessary for the sake of the family he loved, the burden of poverty stifling his hope in the promise of God. There was no room for him, yet he knows to whom he belongs.
On this night, as we worship in the light of God's love, we give thanks for the Josephs among us, migrating far from home when there is no choice, fiercely devoted to the ones they love, unwavering in their belief that there is room for all in the kingdom of God. We light the candle of love as a reminder of Joseph, who knocks at the door, the wandering carpenter ready to take his place among royalty.
Mary gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in the bands of cloth and laid him in a manger. Tonight, angels far and near sing tender lullabies. Well-worn fabric full of years holds in the warmth of parental love. Animals and shepherds crowd in tight, glowing with adoration, while a muffled cry squeezes out to greet the world.
Tonight, we give thanks for every child among us. Each new birth, regardless of circumstances, reminds us of the preciousness of life, the potential of tomorrow, the promise of God. On this Christmas Eve, we light the Christ candle for the child king, the infant redeemer, the lowly Lord, and now we know he is born and nothing will ever be the same.
And now we know he is born, and nothing will ever be the same. I bid you welcome. On behalf of all of the members of First Christian Church, it is a privilege for us to have each of you here in worship tonight. Whether this is your first time here or this is your regular Christmas Eve gig, we are glad to see you. It is a blessing and a privilege for us to welcome this night not only members of our congregation, but members of our families. It is a gift for us to have you in this place. Whether you have heard the story countless times, or this might perhaps be the first night you've really listened to the story of the birth of Christ, we invite you to hear anew, with ears eager for a new beginning, the telling of the story of the birth of Jesus. We listen to the story from the Gospel of Luke, beginning in the second chapter. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. This evening, we share the story of Christ both in scripture and in song. I invite you to turn in the hymnal to number 144. We'll sing together the first, second, and last verses of A Little Town of Bethlehem.
Christmas story continues. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy to all people. To you is born this day, the city of David, a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace among those whom he favors.
Thank you for that gift of music. Luke continues to tell us the story of Christ's birth. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. Let us glorify and praise God by singing together, "What Child Is This?" number 162. Thank you.
one hope, wondering when the promised Redeemer will come. Waiting for the light to show us the way, wandering in the darkness day after day, wondering when we'll see God's salvation, God's waiting, wondering, promise of ages, promise of old, promise by faithful prophets foretold, promise of hope and promise of peace, we are waiting, waiting, wondering. Waiting for the blessed child to be born, wandering, longing for the light of the morn, wondering when we will behold our Emmanuel. Waiting.
Thank you, Amber and Gary. Will you pray with me? O Lord, our hearts are waiting for you. As we wander through this world, we wonder, are we good enough, God, for you? And at Christmas, the answer comes, we are loved. Holy Lord, bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they may be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The shepherds were used to waiting. They were used to waiting through long, cold, dark nights for the warmth of the sun to come up. They were used to waiting during certain times of the year for those ewes that had become so full of life to give birth to tender young lambs. Perhaps they were also used to waiting for a sense of justice. In biblical times, shepherds had a thankless job. They lived kind of on the outskirts of society, dirty and smelly, sleeping outdoors all the time. It wasn't the greatest job. It was often something you were born into. But they were pretty good at waiting. It's amazing then, in the story we heard from Luke, that the shepherds didn't wait at all. Did you catch that little detail? When the angels showed up and announced to the shepherds the birth of Christ the King, they said to one another, "Let's go now." With haste, they hurried quickly to Bethlehem. There's no way they could have taken the entire flock with them. Perhaps they tried, bleating sheep wandering through streets where people slept, looking for a stable where a king was born. What a bizarre story this truly is. Perhaps it's not a surprise that for us in our modern world, Christmas becomes transformed into a whole nother story, one that's easier to swallow. Christmas becomes transformed into a story about family dinners or Christmas trees and presents with bows, peppermint and dashing horses drawing sleighs. We have nostalgia of how we think Christmas used to be in those golden old years, most often our own childhood, when things seemed simpler. Perhaps your mom felt just as harried getting ready for Christmas as you have felt this week. When you're a child, in a way, you're not a very good shepherd because you're not good at waiting. When you're little, you wonder, is it Christmas yet? I want Christmas now. The gift of Christmas is this miraculous conjunction between waiting and now. You see, the story of Christmas, the real story, not the peppermints and packages, but the real story of Christ's birth is the story of God who is already and not yet. The story of Christmas is the story of a beginning. A beginning as simple as it could be, the birth of a little baby. And yet the beginning of the story also happened at the beginning of time. We've heard Luke tell this story about the shepherds and Bethlehem. John tells it in a different way, by saying that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. At the very beginning of time, before people even existed to have babies, God was there. And Christ, the living Word, was with God in that beginning. Already, but not yet. Not yet in the form he would come to take. When God decided to truly show people how much I love them, I need to become one of them. The story of Christmas, as we often live it, is a story of joy and light and celebration, a story of family, perhaps chaos and shopping and cards, but at its heart, a story of love. And yet, the real Christmas story, if we're honest, is pretty messy and smelly. Who on earth would want to put their newborn baby into a feed trough if you had a choice? And you see, there's the rub. Mary and Joseph really didn't have a choice. Oh yes, it was part of God's great plan that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, so of course they went. But in practical terms, the reason they went was because the government told them they had no choice. Have you ever had an experience in your life when you realized you had no choice? You just had to go ahead and do this hard thing, this uncomfortable thing, this unpleasant thing, but you had to do it. So it was that Joseph had to say to his very expectant bride-to-be, Mary, we're going to travel. Not by luxury coach, but by foot and donkey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And of course, they weren't the only ones traveling that night. The city was so crowded, there was no room to be had. And that's how they ended up in the stable, a borrowed place. Have you ever found yourself in a place where you're not sure you belong? A place where you're not sure you're welcome. That's the kind of place where God was born. That's the kind of place where the true story of Christmas begins. Jesus was born, the Prince of Peace, not in a luxury palace, but in a cattle stall. A place that smelled earthy. A place that smelled like animals. Like living, breathing, eating, well, you know what happens when you eat, kind of animals. It was a place that I'm afraid might smell like my house later tonight. You see, this evening, Santa had come and brought me an entire box of Pepperidge Farm cookies. Mint Milano, to be exact, a favorite flavor. Well, Santa was kind of busy and didn't do a very good job hiding the presents, and our dog Brett helped himself to my Christmas present. So I'm hoping when I get home tonight and I find my cute little hyper American Staffordshire Terrier in his crate, it's not going to smell like the stable. You know, sometimes if we're honest, we don't want an authentic Christmas. We don't want a smelly, stinky, homeless Christmas. And yet, that's the kind of Christmas God gives. God chose to come into the midst of humanity to make a beginning at a point that was probably less than pleasant. So as much as we try to prettify Christmas, as much as we try to plan and make it perfect, inevitably something will happen. A little story behind the scenes at First Christian. Our pianist tonight is Kathy Winders. She is the world's best church secretary. Not only does she proof and prepare bulletins faithfully every week, sometimes multiple bulletins in a week like this week, she also takes care of little things behind the scenes. So Kathy very carefully this morning made sure that there were brand new candles in our candelabra up front. But you know, sometimes God surprises us. This morning during the service, the elder decided, gee, it's Christmas Eve. We've got all these candles. We should light them. So the candles got lit, and it was beautiful. Well, that meant that this evening, when it came time for Kathy's grandsons to light the candles, her careful preparation to make sure that that was easy and smooth and went off without a hitch, well, it had a little bit of a surprise in it, a little bit of a Christmas wrinkle, kind of like a terrier eating a box of cookies or a baby being born in a cattle stall. You see, no matter how much we plan and prepare and try to make perfect, Christmas ends up being messy and surprising and sometimes wonderful. God is a God of new beginnings. And one of the most beautiful new beginnings happened when Mary, an unwed mother, gave birth to a baby while she was homeless with her husband-to-be. And they were visited by some smelly farm laborers who just came to see the new baby. Merry Christmas. It doesn't sound very much like our peppermint packages and bows, and yet, at its heart, this story is so filled with love that when that baby was born, everything changed. Because you see, that new beginning of that first Christmas, that new beginning with a messy baby at an inconvenient time in a crowded place, that new beginning was just exactly the gift that humanity needed to realize when my life is messy and crowded and imperfect, when I have to do something I don't want to do, when I end up in a place where I'm not sure I belong, God is there. And in this perfect gift of Jesus' birth, eternity itself begins again. For Christ's birth marks the journey of salvation that concludes at the cross. We sang the beautiful carol, "What Child Is This?" In our hymnal, every verse ends with the same beautiful refrain. Yet there is a version that I actually prefer theologically, though it's a bit uncomfortable. Each verse is different all the way to the end. One of the verses that talks about the child in the manger ends by saying, "Nails, spears shall pierce him through. The cross be borne for me, for you." You see, that beginning in Bethlehem is already marked by the shadow of Calvary's cross. The beginning that God gives to each one of us stretches beyond any imperfect Christmas we try to tie up and fill with joy. It stretches beyond the wondering, waiting, wandering places of our lives. It stretches all the way into eternity. God gives each of us a new beginning, the gift of love. The gift of love made flesh, tangible, as close and as near as children in our sanctuary. The story of Christ, God's love embodied in a child. What is your beginning with Jesus this Christmas? Is it messy and smelly, or is it perfect and pretty? Either way, make sure that there's room in your Christmas for the presence of Christ, for that is the greatest gift of all. The beginning of eternity, born in a manger in Bethlehem and born this night in our very hearts. Amen.
Christmas is for giving and for showing that we care, for honoring the Christ child with the loving gifts we share. The wise men gave of riches, the shepherds' love, faith and love. Each gift in its own measure was smiled on from above. Let every gift be treasured, not always size or price determines the extent of love and willing sacrifice. Handsome gifts with festive trim bring smiles of sweet content, but modest gifts of humble means are oft-times heaven-sent. Whether it be large or small, each gift will share in part the message of true Christmas joy if given from the heart. Tonight, our Christmas offering will benefit the regional ministries of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, including summer youth camps and support of 47 congregations across 5 states. If you wish to give to the Christmas offering, there are special Christmas offering envelopes in your pew. The other offering will support the ministries of First Christian Church here in Casper.
In addition to our offering this evening, when you have a chance to give a gift to God, we will also share communion when each of us receives God's gift of love in bread and cup. This night we'll share communion by intinction. In just a moment, you'll be invited to come forward by the center aisle, bring your tithes and offerings with you, your Christmas offering, and place it in the trays at the front pew. Once you get to the front, there'll be a station where we'll serve communion by intinction. You're invited to take a piece of the bread and dip it in the cup and partake. And then as you return to your pew, be sure that you pick up a candle, for in a moment after communion, we'll share the lighting of candles, the passing of the light of Christ, and we'll sing together Silent Night. If you're not able to come forward or you prefer to remain seated in your pews, our deacons will serve you communion where you are and also bring you a candle after communion has ended. There are small battery-powered candles for the children if they're too young to have an open flame. Please be certain that you get a candle for your child and help them to light it at the appropriate time. The table that we gather around is a family table, and Christ is the head. For members here at First Christian, I want to share an update of some of our family members. I ask you this Christmas to pray for Keith Rouse. This morning, he ended up in the emergency room with a hematoma following his back surgery. He is home resting. The doctors have given him medication, and they're hoping that it will dissipate and recover on its own. But if not, Keith will have to have back surgery on Tuesday. Prayers also for Rick Black's mother-in-law. Terry's mom had heart issues and was taken to the hospital. She is now in intensive care, and they anticipate that she will have bypass surgery, most likely also on Tuesday. So please pray for Terry's mom. I know that there are others who are in our hearts and our minds this night. When you come to communion, bring that person with you in your heart and in your prayers. This family table is open to all who would share in the love of Christ in this place. We'll prepare for communion by singing together, "It Came Upon the Midnight Clear," number 153, verses 1, 3, and 4. When you come forward for communion, bringing your offering and receiving a candle, there'll be two stations at the front of the sanctuary. You're invited to come forward by the center aisle. There'll also be a station at the back for those seated near the sound booth. You're invited to come and to share the love of Christ. It is appropriate this night that we stand before the manger and the cross as we come to the table. We remember that night when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. While they were there, he took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to his friends and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you to forgive your sins and the sins of many." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
On this joyous night, we gather around this table to celebrate the birth of our Savior. Who knew that on this day, this baby would save us all? As we gather at this table, we celebrate Jesus and all that he has done for us.
May the warmth and love of the Christmas season embrace our lives, especially in the breaking of bread and drinking of the cup in which we commemorate the birth of Christ. Fill us with your Spirit so that we may share with others our Christmas joy. Amen.
Thank you.
In the bread and the cup, we are joined together through the body and blood of Christ. And our stories begin again as people of faith. This new beginning stretches all the way to eternity. The eternity of God's love is represented in the flame of the Christ candle. Tonight, in a simple ritual that is shared on Christmas Eve around the world through the ages, the flame from that Christ candle will be passed to each one here to share. And when we go forth, though we leave our candles behind, we take with us the light of God's love burning in our hearts. This evening, we'll sing together the beloved carol, Silent Night. You'll find it on page 145 in your hymnal. Oftentimes, we only hear a verse or two of this carol. Tonight, we will sing all four verses, and then the lights will be dimmed, and we'll share the passing of the Christ light, the passing of Christ's peace, as we sing again the first verse that all of you know and can sing in the dark, and then we'll hum and lift our candles high that God's light might shine among us. Let's sing together, Silent Night. Thank you. Your candles high. The beauty of this candlelit sanctuary on this silent night, this holy night, we pray with our eyes wide open, taking in the beauty of light in the darkness. We pray with our hearts wide open, taking in the beauty of God's love. O Holy Christ, on this night we celebrate your birth. On this night we begin again to walk with you into eternity. O Lord, in our midst, there are those who know the story of your love so well, and there are others who continue to hear it as if for the first time. O Christ, continue to weave your story among your people. Be born anew in our hearts. Begin again your love in our world. Oh Jesus, we invite you to come. Dwell with us. May your living word be made flesh and live among us on this silent night, on this holy night. Amen. Thank you. Amen.